The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, I have a fascinating book in front of me, really deeply personal book. It's written by the novelist and journalist Elizabeth Day. It's called How to Fail: Everything I've ever learned from Things Going Wrong. Elizabeth, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. And I know you have a big following in Ireland as well for your podcast, How to Fail with Elizabeth Day. Tell us a little bit about the podcast first, please, before we get to the book.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Matt. And yeah, the podcast actually came about almost by accident. So what happened was that in October 2017, I got dumped.
Which you write about with searing honesty in the book, I have to say.
I do. Well, I think the ends of relationships, heartbreak is a peculiar kind of devastation because I feel it's almost like a bereavement, but the person is still there. And so I find it very difficult to get over the ends of things. And I went to LA, which is a place that I often go to retreat to lick my wounds. And I was there for a month because I was ghostwriting a book for someone else. And it was while I was in LA that I started having these very honest conversations with my female friends about what heartbreak had taught us. And at the same time as I was doing that, I was also listening to a lot of podcasts because listening to pop songs made me feel too sad. And these two things sort of germinated in my head, and I began to wonder what it would be like to open up this conversation about vulnerability into a more public arena. And I realized that looking back on my 30s, so I was 39 at the time this has happened, the 30s were a decade of enormous transition for me. I had professional success on one level in that I wrote 4 novels and I was lucky enough to be making my living as a journalist. But personally, I endured a lot of failure. I got married and then I got divorced, and I tried and failed to have children. I had failed IVF treatment. I had a miscarriage at 3 months. And looking back at that decade, I just realized that the moments of crisis, as difficult as they had been to live through, had actually taught me so much more than when things went according to plan. And so all of these ideas came together, and I just had the idea of doing a podcast where I would ask high profile people to begin with, although I've now widened my remit, but I would ask them for 3 incidents of failure in their life that they didn't mind discussing in terms of what they had learned from them. And that's how it started. And my first guest was Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who obviously is very famous for writing a brilliant piece of television called Fleabag.
Which is exceptionally popular at the moment. You've had all sorts of people. You've actually had a number of people on the podcast who have been guests on this programme, like Alistair Campbell, for example. So you get to a wide range of people. But how honest are they when it comes to actually discussing their failures in public? And what sort of failures do they talk about?
I actually think they've got more honest as the seasons have progressed. So I've just started season 4. And now most people who I approach have an idea of what the podcast is about. So they are willing to go there and be open. And because I record on a very intimate scale, I mean, it's literally me, my producer and the guest. And because they've identified 3 failures in advance, I think they feel very comfortable in that setting. At least that's what I hope they feel. And that's what I always seek to do in any interview that I carry out, is to make someone feel that they can be sincere and open and that it's a safe space. And in terms of the failures they come up with, it's a real, real range. But the ones that come up again and again are a feeling of having failed in your 20s. And I was quite surprised with the regularity that came up, because I think a lot is written about how difficult teenage years are, and not that much is written about how difficult your 20s are. And I think for many people, it's a decade where you might have left full-time education for the first time, and you're trying to make your way professionally and personally and sort out relationships and deepen friendships and work well and work out who you are. And at the same time as that's going on, there's this enormous cultural pressure to be having the best time ever. And you can now compare yourself constantly on social media. And so I think it's a very difficult time to be a young person. So that's one that comes up again and again. And the other one that surprised me was how many people still feel deeply affected by the fact that they were turned down by a university of their choice. And again, I think maybe that's because if you have done well at school, you have cultivated a persona which is all about doing well at exams and getting compliments and personal fulfillment from that, and therefore building your identity on being good at that. And the first time you experience rejection in that sphere can be extremely, extremely long lasting. So those are two that come up again and again.
How do you define failure?
That's a very profound and interesting question. And I'm not sure that I have a single definition, Matt, because I think one of the things that's interesting about the podcast is that each guest comes with their own definitions of failure. So Sebastian Folkes, who was one of my guests in the first season, he first said to me, I don't really think I have failed, so I'm not sure I'm right for your podcast. And that blew my mind because I'm much more someone who thinks I fail all the time. But his point was that, you know, if you fail to win a literary prize, but you come second and you get a nice free trip to Italy and you get to eat lots of pasta and meet interesting people, that is not a failure. It's its own version of success. But for me, a true failure for me is when something does not go according to plan, something happens out of the blue, you're thrown a curveball by life and you don't learn from it. That for me is the truest kind of failure. Because really my point in both the book and the podcast is that a failure can just be a lesson from the universe wrapped up in a mistake. And as long as you seek to learn from that lesson and use it as an opportunity to grow and to build up emotional resilience so that the next time something goes wrong, you can face it with more strength. As long as you do that, then I don't think there is any such thing as failure. And I think we should really kind of attack the idea that we should feel any shame over it.
The reason I ask you about failure is that sometimes some people seem to treat failure as something as if they can't recover from, that if they don't, for example, get the university course that you referred to earlier that they wanted to do, that then anything else is an alternative which isn't worthwhile, that if a relationship fails, any relationship that comes afterwards is never going to be as good as the one that they've missed out on. Mm. I suppose there are some people that act like that, other people just get up and go again. The people that you've interviewed, how many do you find that, or is it because of the fact you're interviewing successful people, that few enough of the people you interview wallow in that failure?
I sort of deliberately haven't interviewed someone who is still in the grip of current failure and still processing it. And that's been quite a deliberate decision because I feel from an ethical perspective, I don't want to exploit someone who is like really going through it and might not have the perspective that I think that sort of interview requires. So most of the people I interview, it started off with kind of high profile people who you might have heard of, and I'm now expanding the remit a bit. So I've interviewed people who are not necessarily household names, but who have amazing stories to tell. And one of them is Johnny Benjamin. And Johnny Benjamin is now a mental health campaigner. When he was 20, he was diagnosed with paranoid schizoaffective disorder. He'd lived with serious, serious mental health issues all of his life up to that point. And he spoke about how one evening he found himself on the edge of Waterloo Bridge and was about to take his own life. And a passing stranger stopped, noticed his distress, and reached out to Johnny. And that single act of compassion made him step back from the brink. And Johnny is an incredibly moving person to listen to, and so compassionate and so insightful about his own life and his own experiences. But he still lives day to day with an incredibly serious mental health issue. And so that's my way of sort of addressing the point that you raise, Matt. And again, as you say, your former guest, Alistair Campbell, he spoke so openly and just so meaningfully about living day to day with serious depression and the tactics he has developed to deal with that. And so I think there are definitely things that you can't bounce back from as easily as others. I mean, I'm aware that I'm a very privileged person. I'm white, I'm middle class, I own a laptop. And there are certain things that I have no experience of and I can't imagine how hard they are to go through. But really my point is, when you can treat failure just as something that's going to happen to you, and when you can try and flip the switch in your head that rather than thinking of yourself in a negative way as a result of that failure, if you can kind of switch it and think, well, I can learn something about myself and I can learn something about what I don't want next time and the things I'm going to do differently next time, then you can assimilate those sorts of failures. And that's just a happier, more contented way to live life.
And Elizabeth, how good are people at actually distinguishing between failures that may be they're responsible for because of their own actions and failures which are actually due to things beyond their control?
It's such an interesting question, that, and it really, really is so individual. I can give you a sort of a generalization that I'm very wary of generalizations because by their nature, there are always going to be exceptions to this. But generally speaking, the men that I approached in the first season of the podcast had this attitude towards failure, which was they never took it personally. And so they saw it much more as something that was bound to happen, but it was a sort of external factor, and they never evaluated themselves as a response to it. And that was so interesting to me because the majority of women that I approached in the first season all said to me, oh my goodness, there's so many failures I can choose from. And they were very self-deprecating about their own success. And I felt that the women I was approaching found it more difficult to claim their success. And I would include myself in that. And I think that's a sort of, that's just an interesting thing to note. And I think we can learn so much from either point of view, really. But I think I come back to something that I was taught by Deborah Frances White, who is a fellow podcaster. She does a podcast called The Guilty Feminist. And she said to me, you know, failure is data acquisition. And a scientist doing an experiment in order to develop a cure for some terrible disease, if that experiment failed, they would not think they were the failure. They wouldn't go home and think, I'm a hopeless mess of a person. They would think, okay, that experiment hasn't worked. Let me tick it off my list and let me try a new experiment that will get me closer to the cure. And I think you can apply that thinking to lots of things in life.
Earlier in this interview, I asked you to define failure. What about the flip side of failure, success? How do you define that?
I define success as knowing myself and being able to understand that life is texture. And what I mean by that is that life, I think that there is a great tendency in the world that we currently live in to treat happiness as the ultimate goal. And I don't really agree with that because happiness is great, don't get me wrong. But there are loads of other emotions out there that are really valid and worthwhile experiencing. And actually, you can't fully appreciate happiness unless you've also fully experienced its flip side. So I think success is acknowledging that life will throw you unexpected things, but often these things are gifts in a strange form. And I think that treating success and failure simply as facts and being quite stable in our approach to them and choosing how we respond to them, I think that to me is success. Being able to observe the process rather than feeling overwhelmed by it.
Of course, it's also a question of not letting so-called failure or success define you. For example, I would know people who would be regarded as magnificent successes because they're extremely wealthy. They would be billionaires. But as people, they'd be pretty close to being failures.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And it's also something that is so pertinent right now with social media, because social media is all about curating an image of perfection. And I'm as guilty of that as anyone else. I don't choose to post photos of me weeping at midday in a bath eating cold porridge. I choose to post highlights of my life. And those are only ever going to be one dimensional. I think it's a very important thing for us to keep remembering. I really do.
A couple of things just want to finish off, Elizabeth Day, with. And I do want to talk to you a little bit about the book as well, because I think, well, we have spoken about the book as a sort of a spin-off from the podcast. But I interview a lot of sports people on this programme. And the one thing that does become quite clear as well is that to appreciate success, you actually have to experience failure. That if you win something after many years of trying, it seems to many people an awful lot sweeter than the instantly achieved success.
I completely agree with that. And I write in the book about how, as you mentioned in the introduction, I have written four novels. The first one of those novels, the first two reviews I got for that novel were terrible, absolutely terrible. They eviscerated me. And it was a very upsetting thing to experience. But because they were my first two reviews, it almost felt as if after that, anything else was better. And so it proved to be. And that book went on to win a prize and I went on to write three more novels. But it means that I have a kind of hinterland of experience of things not going exactly how I would wish them to go. And because I have that, you know, one of the most one. I'm aware of the irony that a podcast about failure that I sort of never intended to do and a book about failure that I kind of never intended to write are the most successful things I have done in my life so far. But there is, as you say, a sweetness in that, because I feel that all of my life and all of my work have been leading up to this moment. And you asked me earlier what success is. I think I'd like to add to my answer to that, that success is realizing that your personal feelings can have universal resonance and impact. There's something so comforting about that, that when we share our vulnerabilities and when we choose to be open and honest, actually the response for me has been so compassionate, and it's been about strengthening connection with other people. And for me, like, having those kinds of friendships and deepening experiences with others through sharing my own vulnerability has just been the most phenomenal thing, and I'm so happy I got to experience it.
And one final thing, Elizabeth Day, the book How to Fail, Everything I've Learned from Things Going Wrong, I had expected on opening it up to be a typical how-to self-help manual. Particularly, you read through the contents and it's how to fail at fitting in, at tests, at dating, at relationships, and a great chapter headline, being Gwyneth Paltrow. But it's actually an extraordinarily personal piece of work. It's like you've really bared your soul, told everything. How difficult is it to do something like that? You said you wouldn't post photographs of yourself in the bath at midday eating porridge, but you sure as hell write about all of those things.
I do. It's interesting that, because I feel very comfortable when I write. I feel that's my most comfortable position to be in. And when I write, I think it's because I'm able to think so much more clearly and think over a period of time about exactly what it is that I want to say. And there are certain things that I haven't written about in that book. But I just felt if I was going to choose to write about something, then I really did want to be honest, because I had to practice what I was preaching. I had to practice and kind of open sharing of vulnerability, because I felt very strongly that that would make other people going through similar things feel less alone. And there were certain things that I was burning to write about. There's a chapter about how to fail at babies, and I personally feel that that's a very unspoken about topic. And when I was going through IVF and miscarriage, there was hardly any literature out there other than on online forums. And I really wanted it to exist for other women who might be experiencing that feeling of loneliness. And so I actually found it came quite naturally to me. But when you're a writer of books, you play this psychological trick on yourself. And when you're writing the book, you sort of know on one level that hopefully some other people will read it, but you don't allow yourself to think that. So I wasn't, although I was aware that it was going to be a published book, I didn't then go, oh, and it's going to be in bookshops and loads of people are going to have a kind of bird's eye view of the inside of my brain. And I did have a period about 2 or 3 weeks ago of an extreme feeling of anxiety and exposure and actually, to be honest, of shame. And I was really interested in where that shame came from. And I think it comes from centuries of women being made to feel they can't tell their stories and their experiences aren't valid. And so I actually, to counteract that shame now is like a daily conscious act. And I feel that what I'm doing is important, and I feel that it is worth the space. And therefore, I am happy to share and to be honest.
Elizabeth Day, thank you so much for joining us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.